Now, let's continue on and we'll answer the question. Law, which law, what kind of law, etc. So we can at least get a framework on what you can be doing things. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's generally assumed by the Protestants, and I don't know the Catholics, it may be the same, that with the Old Testament, that's how God brought salvation to the Jews. Is that generally assumed that way? Okay. Number two, they assume that Judaism today is the embodiment of what's in the Bible, Old Testament. Okay. Now,
another way to put that is that Christianity is the continuation of Judaism after Christ.
Yes.
That Christianity grew out right. of Judaism.
And they bring in the theory of religious evolution called progressive revelation. Mm-hmm. Okay. And a revelation comes along and it does away with this. And then you go a little further, it does away a little more. Go a little further, it does away a little more. And pretty soon you end up with the evangelical Bible like I brought out in one sermon, two verses. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. And that if you believe the words of Jesus, you have passed from life to death, and that's all you need. Was that a fair assessment?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, let's come back here to 2 Corinthians 3, because this is a very favorite place. They love to go to show things are done away. Okay.
Oh,
you did.
I did. I'm starting to turn.
Oh, you're getting the hang of it here.
Oh, I'm in Chronicles. I was so sorry. Proud of myself. Now I'm bummed.
You suppose you need a reading lesson?
I think I do.
Better light.
2 Corinthians 3. Okay. Page 1176. Now, when we get done with this chapter, it's going to give you a great deal of understanding as to how to view the Old Testament, okay? And the different laws that we are talking about, which we will see, are civil government laws that we have today, almost identical, okay? Israel was a nation under God as a theocracy. But you go back to Genesis 9 and you find after the flood that God gave the administration of death to the leaders of the nations. Because he said, whoever kills man shall die by the hand of man. That's the judgment was given, and we'll see that in Exodus in just a little bit here. Every sovereign nation, God has given that ability to execute and carry out laws against the evildoers. Okay? Israel was not a church. A church functions in an entirely different way. And the key thing to remember is this. No nation can have two sovereigns within it. You must have one sovereign. That means one government, geographical territory, people that belong to it, and whatever their culture is. If you ever listen to Mike Savage, he says borders, language, and culture. Okay, that's another way of saying sovereignty. Now, what happens with the Muslims coming in? They get in, and they gradually establish a base. Now, if you look at United Kingdom, they've really done it. And they have become so powerful that now they're asking for another sovereign ability to judge called Sharia law. Mm-hmm. We will become a sovereign within a sovereign, and we will judge ourselves, even to the point of execution. See? Now, United Kingdom is in a very dangerous position because there could be, by election, supposedly Muslims elected to parliament and they become a majority. Now think what would happen with that. When the Supreme Court of the United Kingdom says, well, we should allow certain instances of Sharia law to be administered by them. Which then, now you have another standard, see. Now you have another sovereign. Okay? So this is what we are talking about with the Old Testament. They had, put it this way, theological or spiritual laws of God to live by. Based under that were the civil laws to carry it out in a civil nation. And please understand, they were not called to conversion. You didn't get that until the New Testament, with the exception of the prophets and Moses and those that Peter wrote said had the Spirit of Christ. Okay, now with that background, let's read here the comparison that Paul is doing in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter. Verse 1. Do we begin to commend ourselves, or do we as some need epistles of commendation from you, or epistles of commendation from you? You are our epistles inscribed in our hearts, known and read by all men. For it is manifest that you are Christ's epistle administered by us. You are not inscribed with pen and ink, like Moses did, writing down the law, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on the fleshly tablets of the heart. So he's covering the two things that you find that Moses received. One, Ten Commandments written on the tables of stone. Two, the other one were the other laws on how to administer it. Okay? He's comparing that with the new covenant here, New Testament. Now we have this confidence through Christ toward God. Not that we are competent of ourselves or credit anything to our own abilities. Rather, our competency comes from God. And you'll see the humility all the way through of Paul. He ended up by saying that in Ephesians 3 that he was less than the least of all the saints. Okay. Who has made us competent as ministers of the new covenant. Now you see, covenant is different than a testament, which maybe we can cover a little later. But a covenant is agreement that is made, and the sacrifice has to be made first in order for the covenant to be binding. Whereas a testament, you can have a last will and testament, but as long as you're alive and you can still scribble out different instructions, you can change it. See, a covenant is different. You have the sacrifice first, number one, Christ's sacrifice, and then you have your sacrifice, which is baptism. So you both have a covenant sacrifice unto death, new covenant. Okay. Not of the letter. Boy, do they like to read that. But of the Spirit. And they don't understand what that means, because see, by the Spirit of God, we are to have the laws written in our hearts and our minds, see. For the letter kills. Now, what does he mean, the letter kills? Two ways. Number one, if it's a civil law and you've transgressed it, we'll see in a minute, you can suffer the death penalty, according to the Old Testament. But since the church is a group of believers in all nations, they cannot have the sovereign power of the death penalty. What is the most severe penalty that the church can mete out? Which then goes against the Catholics, because they say the Pope has temporal power and spiritual power. He can make emperors, he can depose emperors, he can declare war. See? So he has made himself the dual sovereign of both. And in the New Testament, the sovereignty belongs in Christ and God the Father, and we go into all nations to live God's law spiritually and a relationship with God, and therefore with the church, if there's someone who causes trouble in the church, the greatest punishment we can mete out so we don't violate the sovereignty of any nation is disfellowshipment. Mm-hmm. That's it. See? You can't, even in the case of if there's a murder, you know, and things got so bad and worldwide that a minister killed his wife and committed suicide. You know, that's certainly not the love of God. And that's because of all the trying to do spiritual things by carnal means will lead you to desperation because you can't accomplish it, see. Now, that's another thing we can cover later. All right. So the letter kills in two ways. Wages of sin is death, and if you violate a law that requires your death, Israel was given the authority to administer it. But the Spirit gives life. And that leads to spirit life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life, and so forth. Verse 7. Now, if the ministry or administration of death, which was engraven in stone, and also pen and ink, came into being with glory, and it did, didn't it? I mean, can you imagine what it would be like standing at the foot of Mount Sinai and look up there and it's covered with all these clouds and here's the lightning and the thundering and, you know, God steps onto Mount Sinai and the rocks melt and so there's some lava coming down and you're looking up there and, you know, the trumpet's blowing and the wind is blowing and boy, they all backed off. It was such an experience that what did they say to Moses? Oh, Moses, you talk to us. We don't want to hear God's voice. Okay. So that the children of Israel were not able to gaze upon Moses' face because when he went up to God the second 40 days after their rebellion, then he came back, his body absorbed some of the glory and power of God so that his face shined and he had to cover his face, okay? Which glory is being set aside? The glory is being set aside. Not the law. Okay? Shall not the ministry of the Spirit be far more glorious? Yes. And Paul was recipient of that, right? Forgiveness. And if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, to a greater degree, the ministry of righteousness overflows with glory. And even the ministry of condemnation, which had glory, was not glorious in this respect because of the surpassing glory of the ministry of life. In other words, the comparison between the two covenants, one in the letter of the law compared with the Spirit, far greater. Like we said, you have access to God the Father in heaven above. See, they could only come to the temple. See, far greater, far more glorious. Okay? For if that which is being set aside, the temple service, the administration of death came into being through glory, to a much greater degree, that which remains is glorious. So then we'll answer the question, what remains? Now then, because we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. For we are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not gaze to the end upon the glory that is now being set aside. See, so it's the glory. But, verse 14 is the key. Their minds were blinded. For to the present hour the same veil has not been removed, but remains at the reading of the old covenant. And does that not describe Protestantism today? Yes. Which veil is removed in Christ? In other words, the veil of blindness is removed, which means we understand Moses the way it should be. See? For to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies upon their hearts. They won't listen. And what happens? Just like Landry said, he went to the minister. Oh, no, we don't need to keep that. See? But when their hearts turn to the Lord, the veil of blindness is taken away. See? Now the Lord is the Spirit. to take away that blindness. And where the Spirit of Lord of the Lord is, there is freedom, not to eliminate law, but there's freedom of sin through repentance. See? But we all, with uncovered faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, as in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. And that ties in with what we covered last night, that when we're resurrected, our bodies are going to be transformed, made like his glorious body, etc., etc. So that is much greater. Now, let's go back to the book of Exodus, and let's look at some of the other laws that are based upon the Ten Commandments, and we will look upon the judgments and ordinances that were given. So let's come to Exodus 21. Now, even in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, as well as Matthew 22, the great commandment is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your being. That's the great commandment, right? The second one is like to it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? What else did Jesus say? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay? So everything that God did was in love, even to the executing of a criminal worthy of death. From this point of view, if they would do as I don't know if we'll find it here in this section, but you find it in Leviticus 18 and 20 concerning sex crimes, since I'm doing the series Obsessed with Sex, and that's kind of on my mind. So anyway, I wonder, why don't you try this in your community? Go online and look up the official registered sex offenders and where they live in your city.
We did that.
Did you do that?
Really?
Yeah, one of the kids.
You did that. Lots of them, right?
Really? Yes, we have three girls, so we just wanted to know.
One.
And sure enough.
Oh, okay. Two of them close at hand, huh?
In the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood.
In our neighborhood.
Okay. Okay. Now, what is the problem with sex offenders that do violent sex crimes? Now, we're not talking about, you know, kids getting out in the bushes and experimenting around. All kids will do that. That's, unfortunately, part of the way that things happen with kids. Okay. We're talking about men and also women, because now we have teachers. What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, hey, you're a good-looking young man. Come home with me and sleep with me, see? Well, what is... You know, men are just like lambs to the slaughter when they have that kind of invitation, okay? Now, if someone commits rape and kidnapping, the Old Testament says, execute them. Oh, but you're taking a human life. But when you look at all the registered sex offenders, you might do it with those who have committed murder but got off too and see where they are, okay, what happens to many of them?
Recidivism.
They repeat the crime. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the execution of that person is love toward the rest of the society, that he's not turned loose on the rest of the society to go perpetrate the crime again. Mm-hmm. Okay? See? And they don't view it that way. All right. Now, we won't go through the slave laws, but they had slaves then, and they had to be treated humanely. Let's come to chapter 21. Okay. Let's begin in verse 12. All right. Remember, they had the power of the administration of death. Exodus 21 and verse 12. 2:1, 1:2. Okay. He that strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. Because how many repeat killers and serial killers? I mean, we've got Vandersloot now down, finally caught in Peru, huh? He says, oh, I know where the body of whatever her name was.
Natalie.
Yeah, Natalie. Yeah, okay. Yeah, and they reported on the news. Someone said, well, His life is worth about $100. He gets Improbium Prison. If you get a chance to watch a special Improbium Prison, that's one place you don't want to be.
Oh, it is terrible. Prison, we've been to Peru. That's no place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he said, just slip an inmate $100 and there'll be a riot. And oh, lo and behold, this man died in a riot. Okay. He shall surely be put to death. And if a man does not lie in wait, but God delivers him into his hand, because God allowed vengeance killing. Okay. Then I will appoint a place where you shall flee. But he does not want them to come presumptuously. See? But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with guile, you shall take him from my altar so that he may die. He can't have an appeal even to the altar of God to grab the horns of the altar and say, God, spare me. He that strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He that steals a man and sells him, and if he be found in his hands, he shall surely be put to death. He that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now this is in violent rebellion, not just to say some swear words, you know, because you're angry. If two men strive, one strikes another with a stone or with his fist, and he does not die, but is confined to bed, if he rises again and walks abroad upon his staff, then he that struck him shall be set free. Only, now I want you to pay attention very carefully here, and you will see how similar that this is to our laws. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time and shall cause him to be completely healed. That means pay for the complete healing. Okay? Restitution. What do we have with our auto insurance? Based on that very same thing. You have auto insurance in case you strike a car, injures a man. The insurance company will specify how much for an eye, how much for a hand, how much for a life, etc. Okay? And the man will go free. Then it talks about striking a servant and so forth, and he die under his hand, he shall surely be punished. But if he continues a day or two, shall not be punished, for he is his money. Okay. Now here's one that also affects abortion. If men strive, verse 22, and strike a pregnant woman so there is a miscarriage and no harm follows, that means the baby's okay and the woman is okay. He shall surely be punished according as the woman's husband shall lay upon him. He shall pay as the judges determine. See, so they had a system of judges, and there were to be two or three witnesses. And if any injury occurs, then he shall give life for life. Okay? Now, it depends on what the judgment would be. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Now, people read that and say, well, you know, God wanted you to take out your eye, take out a tooth. You knocked out my tooth, turn your head over here. I'll knock out your tooth. No, you were to pay for the loss of an eye, for the loss of a tooth, for the loss of a hand. See? That's what we're talking about in all these things here, to pay. Okay? Now, verse 28. Remember, all the law hangs on loving your neighbor as yourself. And all of these laws here come under the various categories of you shall commit no murder. And under that, you have manslaughter, you have accidental things that happen, and now you have animals involved. So today we'd talk about cars. Verse 28, if an ox gores a man or woman so that they die, then the ox shall surely be stoned. His flesh shall not be eaten, but the owner of the ox shall be clear. But if the ox was known to gore in past time, and his owner has not been warned, but he did not keep him in, so that it kills a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and the owner also shall be put to death. Hey, you're going to make good fences, right? You think some of those Texas longhorns, you know, whoop. Boy, that can get you good. And if there is a sum on it laid on him a sum of money so he can redeem his life. Okay? Then he shall give for the ransom of his life whatever is laid upon him, whether it is gored a son or is gored a daughter, according to this judgment, it shall be done to him. Now, to ransom his life means he pays for that life. And if the ox gore a manservant or a maidservant, he shall give to his master 30 shekels of silver, and that's what they paid for Christ. Dead slave, 30 shekels of silver. And the ox shall be stoned. If a man shall open a pit, and if a man dig a pit and does not cover it, and an ox or a donkey falls in it, the owner of the pit shall make it good, give silver to its owner, and the dead beast shall be his. I like that one. He keeps the carcass there, okay? And in the event the ox of a man damages the ox of his neighbor so that it dies, then they shall sell the living ox, and they shall divide the money of it, and they shall also divide the dead ox. And if it is known that the ox has been known to gore in the past, and his owner has not kept it in, he shall surely pay ox for ox, and the dead ox shall be his own. Now, you can read through all the rest of them here, you see. And all the subordinate laws are what? Civil laws by judges to come to a decision what to do in the case of these different things, you see? Every one of them.
So if I were to just pick this up and read this and say, oh, that's all very interesting, but that's Old Testament, and the only thing that's relevant now is the New Testament, I could essentially be making two mistakes. The first mistake is, well, no, this isn't irrelevant. Actually, this is the basis for our current civil law in the United States of America.
Correct, because we're a sovereign nation. Right.
Second, this was not intended to be church spiritual law, but this is sovereign law for
yes.
the nation of Israel.
Yes.
And that might be something that I've missed also, is even reading the Old Testament, which is specifically sovereign law, and which is spiritual law,
okay.
that applies to the church. So, for example, unlike Sharia law, we in the church don't say, okay, Chris and I get in the fight, I knock his tooth out, so now he knocks my tooth out. Well, that's not applying directly to the church. That's applying to civil law.
Yes.
Whereas, also, and if you go back a chapter to Exodus 20, there are very specific Ten Commandments, which are spiritual laws.
From that come the spiritual laws and the civil laws, both. You have the letter of the law, you have the spirit of the law, see? And the spirit of the law has to do with the heart and mind, and has to do with conversion, and how you live your life, or how should we say the term they use today, interface with other people, see? Here come the chapter 23. We'll look at just a couple of others here that go along with it that are more of a combination spiritual as well as civil, okay? Verse 1. You shall not raise a false report. Hello, media. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. That's spiritual and that's civil. You go to court and you do that, you give false testimony. Eh? Is that loving your neighbor as yourself? Yes. Yes. You shall not follow multitude to do evil. Neither shall you testify in a cause in order to side with many so as to pervert judgment. Hello, the crucifixion of Christ and all the crowds, see? Neither shall you be partial to a poor man in his cause. If you meet an enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. So here we have a civil and spiritual combined. It's the good thing to do. Just like you come home one day and you find your neighbor here, and he comes up to you and says, oh, hey, Todd, your sheep were ready to get on the highway, and they were ready to go astray, and I got them back up here, and I knew you'd be home in a few minutes, so I just waited for you. What would you say? Thank you. Wonderful. See?
That happened.
That's loving your neighbor. Yes. Okay.
Well, it even says your enemy's ox, too. Which is
yeah, even your enemy.
Loving your enemy.
Even the guy down the road you hate. That's right. Is that not loving your enemies, too? Yes. See? So when you come back and really look at these, you find, hey, those are still living today.
So are you saying that a lot of the sovereign law that we have here in the United States and around the world that came from the Bible?
Yes.
That judgment can be made on people and they
yes.
can be put to death?
Yes, but not the church. The church does not have the administration of death.
Okay, but the government does. So
government does, that's correct.
So then you, so who passes down that judgment? I mean, who is... I mean, I know following these say if you break this, okay, this is that. But who's to say, okay, well, you broke the law, Chris, you know what, but Todd's going to be the one to execute you. Who decides that? Who's the one that says...
Oh, well, it has to be the official method of execution, whatever country it's in.
So then I'd say it's Alabama or Georgia. Or,
yeah.
Have electric chair.
They would go through the court.
Well,
yeah.
They do, but there's still one person that pulls the lever, right?
Yeah.
So he's
see,
actually doing the killing.
That's
yeah.
By state law.
Someone would do that. Okay, now here's what they had to keep the conscience clean. If there was something worthy of death that was committed, the witnesses will be the first one to throw the first stone. Okay? And that was to help the one bringing the accusation to be truthful in what he was saying, because if it be found later that he lied, he gets it. Okay? So, yeah, help your neighbor. Okay? Verse 6.
Kagan.
Verse 6. Hello, Ms. Kagan. Please read this. You shall not pervert the judgment due to your poor in his cause. In other words, redistribution of wealth. Okay. Keep far away from a false matter. Hello, media again. Do not kill the innocent and the righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. You shall take no bribe, for the bribe blinds the wise and perverts the words of the righteous. Hello, Congress, President, local authorities, okay? And on and on. So when you read these, you find out, yes. And then, look, interspersed in this are the feasts. Let's come over here. Let's read this. Verse 12 talks about the seventh year letting the land rest. And what do? We double plow it and never rest it. Oh, and by the way, one of these times I need to give a sermon on the economic cycle in the Bible of the 7 years and the Jubilee. Mm-hmm. Because you see, what happens in man's way of doing things, you get these big bubbles and they burst and it collapses, see. When you have the 7 year cycle and your loans are only good for 6 years, see, then you don't overburden the people and you don't charge them a lot of interest. And the loan is forgiven in the seventh year. Okay? What does that do? That means that you don't oppress people economically and you have a value to the monetary system that stays good. Okay? Today it's all printed. Today it's worth nothing. It's all debt. You take out any denomination of money and it says, this note is for all debts, public and private. In other words, it's an IOU. You know, you think you have a lot of money in your pocket, you have a lot of debt. One day, someone's going to say, Okay. So, I need to give a sermon on that one day. Okay. Now notice, verse 12. From the Ten Commandments. 6 days you shall do your work, on the seventh day you shall rest, so that your ox and donkey may rest, the son of your handmaid and the stranger may be rejuvenated. Be watchful in all things I've said to you, and make no mention of other gods, second commandment, neither let it be heard out of your mouth. You shall keep a feast unto me 3 times in a year. Now notice, no sacrifices are mentioned here, all right? Very important to keep in mind, because some will say, well, you did away with the sacrifice and you do away with the keeping of it, see? You shall keep feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days and so forth. Verse 16, also the feast of harvest of the first fruits of your labor, which is Pentecost. And then the feast of ingathering, the end of the year, verse 16. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before me. Why does he not include females? Because some are great with child and can't travel. Some have just given childbirth, and it would upset the baby and upset the mother's health. So God does not require it of the females, but he requires it of the male, because the male is the head of the family, and so forth. So all of those, you find when you begin to examine them that way, it becomes quite an interesting thing to understand the laws in the Old Testament. Okay? Now, let's come to the New Testament. All right? Let's come to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Let's see an application of this in a spiritual sense. Okay? Ephesians.
1192.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Good. 1192. Okay. Ephesians. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. All right. Now, notice what we have here. All right? Come back to chapter 4. Chapter 4. And then we'll take another break, and then we'll come back and we'll add on to this. Okay? Let's begin here in verse 22. That concerning your former conduct, you put off the old man. That's the sinful self. Okay? Which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's the whole process of conversion. How are you going to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, replacing the deceitful lust? The spirit of God, the love of God, the love of neighbor, love of brethren, the spiritual meaning of the laws of God written in your heart and in your mind. That's how you do it, see? Okay, and that you put on the new man. See, so this is what we do on the Sabbath. We learn how to grow in grace and knowledge so that we are constantly in the process of being converted, growing in grace and knowledge. Put on the new man, which according to God is created. So God is doing a work in us. We'll pick up on that a little later when we come back again, okay? Being created in what? In righteousness and the holiness of the truth. There's that word again. Therefore, let each one of you put away lies. Come from the Ten Commandments? Yes. Speak the truth with his neighbor, because we are members one of another. When you become angry, do not sin. Don't be hateful. Don't become violent. You see? Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And how do you do that? You repent of it and ask God to take it from you. You know, you can't do this. You can't go to God and say, oh, God, forgive me all my sins. And how bad I am, I need your forgiveness. And then you get up in prayer and say, well, you know, that guy over there, that woman over there, I'll never forgive them. See, No. You get rid of the anger. Have you ever been so angry and upset you go to bed, you never sleep? Yeah, I've done that. Yeah. What happens? You're messed up. You're wiped out. You're worthless. And what happens? That resentment and hatred just burdens you down. It burdens your mind. It burdens your thoughts and burdens your emotions. That's why you have to repent of them and get rid of them through the Spirit of God. Okay? Verse 27 is interesting. Neither give place to the devil, because if you're in that attitude, the devil can, ooh, look at there, bingo. Let the one who stole, 10 commandments, steal no more. Rather let him labor with his hands, working at what is good, so he may impart something to the one who has need. Now, we improve our communication. Verse 29. Do not let any corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Well, we can apply that to preachers who say the law is done away, right? Is that a correct communication? Okay. And just our general conversation. But that which is good and needful for edification, that it may give grace to the hearer, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to have to do a little more study on that, so, and tie that in with the working of the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by which you have been sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath and clamor and evil speaking be removed from you together with all malice. See, so here is a theme of what unleavened bread is. You put out the leaven, which is a type of sin, and you eat the unleavened bread, which is a type of sinlessness, and it relates to your behavior. So you put the word of God in your mind and in your heart, and this relates to your behavior, see? Then notice what he says, verse 32, be kind and tenderhearted to one another, forgiving one another. See, that's the best way to go, see? Even as Christ is also, even as God, rather, has also in Christ forgiven you. Now notice chapter 5. Notice what our conduct is to be. And remember, John said, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And we'll talk about how we do it a little later after we take another break here. Okay? Notice verse 1. This is something. Therefore, be imitators of God. Whew. That's quite a command, isn't it? Okay? Put in your margin there, Matthew 5:48. We are to become perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. That's the goal. See how much greater. That's why Paul said that the new covenant is greater in glory, because that's greater in glory, isn't it? I mean, that you can have your behavior imitating the way God thinks and acts and does, see? As beloved children. Boy, now notice, we'll go down a few more verses here and see how all of this relates to the laws and commandments of God and the love of God. Walk in love. Okay? Now let me give you three things to remember. Not only to walk in love, we're to walk in faith, believe in hope, and live in love. And that's summed up here, walk in love. What is love? Love your neighbor as yourself. What is love toward God? No other gods, no idols, not taking his name in vain, and so forth. Even as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. All right? Now, notice what he says here for all the members, but in particularly, the ministers in Protestantville need to learn this. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, do not permit it even to be named among you as is fitting for saints. Total change in behavior. And you can't have that change of behavior without the Spirit of God. You can't have this behavior by saying the law has been done away. Because every bit of this is based on the law, coupled with the Spirit of God to obey. All right, we'll go ahead and take another break here.